ago, I first came to Rora House. 40 years. Summer of August 1970. I was told this is a great holiday place to come to. And you weren't even there.
I was.
Were you? Well, I never did. I thought you were much younger than that. And the amazing thing was I found God here. I suppose it was the beginning of a wonderful journey. So I shall ever be thankful for this place and for Malcolm and Christine and all who work here. And trust that God continues to do that. I think those days there was a great thrill and buzz about things and excitement of all the anticipation of what God was going to do. I've been thinking about what to share with you tonight. I've had three things. I've got two meetings, mind you. I'm not sure about the suffering church meeting on Wednesday night, because I've been thinking about this whole question of signs and wonders. It's been thinking about it, and I've been so I might want to talk about that on Wednesday. Is that all right? I don't know if it's anything to do with the suffering church, but have you taken it from Acts chapter 12? It is, isn't it? With Peter being released from prison and James having his head chopped off. See, it's that or that. I don't know what you would have chosen. God's answer to prayer or immediate entrance into heaven. I think Mike was saying something about that. When it was this morning, wasn't he? He prayed that the Lord might keep him alive, and then he prayed the Lord might take him. that's going through sickness. But something Christine just prayed this evening, she was praying about the young people, and she prayed about the purpose of God. And I suppose, you know, as you grow older, and some of us now, we use our bus passes to get about, and it's very convenient. We have plenty of buses where we live. And you realise that it's something you want to do. You won't always be in the place that God wants you to be. That actually, I want to say, dominates my heart. I wouldn't want you to fear that I'm under pressure in that sense. But I want to be in the right place at the right time with God. And you see, we pray, don't we? We pray for our young people. And one wonders whether people are not here because they think that they're doing other things. Or is that the will of God for our life? It's amazing, isn't it? If I hadn't have come here in August 1970, I mean, I didn't know the leading of the Lord. I think God just found a place for me and my wife and family to go, because they knew that that's where I would find God. And something that we read in the book of Hebrews about the Lord Jesus Christ really impresses itself upon my heart. And I want to pose a question tonight. I suppose preachers tend to do that quite a bit. They pose questions. And that is, are you in the will of God? No, not just tonight. I trust you are sitting here on your seat in this place. But in what God has for you and what you are doing and where you're going and who you're speaking to and the situations that you're involved in. Because one thing I discover about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he was always in the right place at the right time, because he was always listening to his Father. You know, there were times when Jesus would come to a situation. I was reading it again today in John 11, and you remember he was called to go and see a a good friend. His name was Lazarus. He was really loved Mary and Martha and his brother, and they had this desperate situation, emergency. Must have sent a message, you must come. You must come immediately. Lazarus is sick. And we read that Jesus stayed two more days in that place. Now, I don't know whether I would have had the courage to do it. You know, say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not going. I know that I've read stories about people that do it. They don't do anything unless God tells them to do it. Now, I know you're on dangerous ground now, because, you know, people say a lot of things like that, don't they? You know, I know one man that eight women told him that God told them they were going to marry them. Seven of them must have been wrong, or eight of them maybe. But he delayed because he had to come at a certain time. It had to be 4 days. He'd been dead already. Could have been the fifth day. It could have been the day of grace. Could all write those things into it. And when he got to the tomb, and when he was distressed, and after he wept, he looked up into heaven, and he made this statement. I'm going to read it. It's in John 11. Just quickly, he says, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Yeah. Now, that reveals to me that they had had a conversation about this issue. He wasn't on his own. He wasn't. And yet we realize with the Lord, he was God. He was part of the Trinity. He was with his Father. They were one. They were in fellowship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet his total working ethic, his everything he did was because he was doing the will of the Father. And Hebrews is quoting to us here in Hebrews chapter 10. Quoting from Psalm 40. And it's interesting. If we'll look back into Psalm 40 in a moment, but just misses a little bit out. It says, he's quoting from Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, but it says this in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." You know, there are many people who thought they were doing God a favor by doing their own thing. I'm thinking of Saul, this man that God chose as the first king of Israel, and he said, "I want you to go in and slaughter everything, everything." And then Samuel comes back and he says, "What's the bleating of the ear, sheep I hear in my ears?" And he said, "Oh, I've done that for you, Lord. You know, I bought that lottery ticket for you, Lord, so I could give the money away for you, Lord." You could do, couldn't you? You could actually persuade yourself that you're doing something good for God in what you do. But, you know, let's test our motives, because sometimes it's good for us. And of course, God wasn't pleased, and he said, "Well, I've rejected you." It's something, you know. You talk about the wrath of God, and some of the judgments that God makes on people are quite swift and certain. I mean, poor old Moses, he only got angry once. and that's it. I mean, we know, of course, that he was in heaven. You know, he was still up the mountain when Jesus was transfigured. So, I mean, he wasn't forgotten. But, you know, there's certain aspects of life that are so important. Not that we lose our ultimate salvation, but we might make a mess of something. And God might have to come along and find somebody else to do it. And that would be disappointing, wouldn't it? If we had an opportunity to see a miracle or a wonder or a sign and then miss it because we blow it. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. And then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know, think if Jesus hadn't done the will of the Father, you and I wouldn't be here tonight rejoicing in his glory, would we? You know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Jesus' priority was to do the will of the Father. And we find him, don't we, in the beginning of John's Gospel, he needs go by a place called Samaria. He's there to meet a woman. And of course it's lunchtime and people are hungry. And so his disciples are off town buying local McDonald's or something, get themselves a burger. And he's waiting. He's got an appointment, and out she comes, this woman, unexpected, doesn't know she's going to meet this rabbi, this Jewish leader, discovers, and they have a conversation, and he leads her to the Lord, we could say that. He puts his finger on her need, and she responds, and an amazing thing happens in Samaria, because that woman goes back. And then, of course, other people come and they find the Saviour. Just an encounter with Jesus. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I want perhaps to illustrate this subject by looking at some of these great men of the Old Testament. They all begin with J, so that makes it easier for me. because we all have different experience, don't we? All have different ways the Lord leads us. But I believe these men show us some tremendous principles of God's plan and purpose for our lives. But before I do that, let me turn you to the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter, God sets the course, as it were, for all this tremendous blessing that you and I are going to inherit. In fact, in the New King James Bible, which Malcolm reading now, it gives a little potted history of at the beginning of each book, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they're useful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it says this, and I'll read it to you, okay? Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars, only because they are ignorant of their wealth. Isn't that amazing? In other words, God has poured out all this blessing, and because we're out of touch, possibly, we don't know how to receive it. You know, I've usually when I come here, you know, I bring the computer, and you know, it's great, isn't it? You know, to when you're at home, you switch it on, bing, and there you can download your emails and surf the net and listen to the cricket and find out what's going on in the world. And of course, when you come here, you have to search for it. Except this year, I decided to bring Mr. Virgin with me, and guess what? Actually, it works, and I can plug it in and get a connection, and so I can, you know, receive. And catch up on the emails. Not that I can't do that on my BlackBerry, but but you know, isn't it wonderful to be in touch? But you see, that's just on a natural level. Isn't it wonderful to be in touch with God? Isn't it wonderful to hear his voice? It's not a blueberry, it's a blackberry. But we've got this tremendous blessing. We can listen and be directed by God. Now, I believe that should govern our lives. I'm here tonight, one, because, well, I would have been here anyway, but I mean, I was invited. Because, you know, the people of God meet together. I can't understand people who don't want to meet together. Because it can be life-changing. It can be revolutionary. And sometimes when we talk, I was talking to Andy Hunter today on the radio, listening to him, and I said, and we were talking about the Word of God, and I said, tell us some things that have revolutionized, you know, people's lives in the last few weeks. You know, people perhaps can go back, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, but oh, what's happened in the last week for you? Because I don't think that there's any less need in the places where we live and where we go and opportunities than there were 40 years ago. And we had an interesting time. One of the daughters of a member in the church at Eltham discovered her husband was being unfaithful. Of course, it was a real shattering blow to her. And she's one of these, I'm looking at you now, she was one of these very fiery, you know, no, I better not look at you. Fiery, aggressive, angry person. Boy, and when she was on the boil, she never stopped. Shouting, screaming, talking. And he is such a laid-back fellow, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, he's more or less horizontal. And I suppose, you know, over the 13 years they've been together, been married 6 years, got two children, he just kind of, you know, just allowed it to happen. Anyway, she just didn't know how to handle this. So her mum said, why don't you go and see Terry and Fran, you see? Well, she said, well, they know we're not religious, don't they? But fine, that's okay. We had this meeting and she did all the talking and he said nothing. You know, she said how angry he was and how hate, you know, this and background, difficult backgrounds, of course. And afterwards I said, you know, I believe God can help you. I think God can change you. I said, you've got issues and areas in your life. Only God can deal with, you know. And I said, you know, we'd love to pray with you. Is that okay? He said, yes, it's okay. But anyway, we did pray with them and she came back to see us. And, you know, we talked and afterwards we just asked God to change her life. And I mean, that to me is something God can do. We just prayed. And no, people said to her, what's happened to you? You're a different person. And of course, from then on, she went home and she told her husband, she said, we're going to church now. And he said, I'm not. I'm going to do training at the gym. And of course, she, you know, she blew her top, and there we are. She kind of didn't maintain this wonderful blessing that she received. Except we've seen a lot of them since then, and we did a marriage course with them, and then now we're doing their homework together with them because they don't want to stop. And this amazing thing was, this man who now talks half the time, he said, you know, we had a crisis. He said, So I held her hand. He says, these are non-Christians. And he said, we prayed together. And you know, he says, it really works. Amen. We have an abundance of ministry, not just for ourselves, but, you know, for our next door neighbours, for the people up the street. And I think sometimes we're holding on to this, these riches and these wonderful gifts, maybe because we don't think they want them, or they might reject them. Because we don't like being rejected, do we? But you see, Jesus, he just kind of moved along and said, well, you know, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, he would have given you living water. Oh, living water, you haven't got, where's your pot? See? And made it applicable. That I believe people want to receive. But anyway, that's a bit of a digression. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And he talks about these things in our bank account: adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, the seal of the Holy Spirit, life, grace, citizen. They're everything that we have received. And they're yours. Tonight, they're yours. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, that set our course. And, you know, we have to remember that God has set our course. He knows exactly where he wants, what he wants for us, where he wants us to go. He's already done that even before the foundation of the world. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed. And he's very pleased about this. He's taken me on board. That's not, you ask Francis, that's not an easy task. Is it? And she's born with me for 50 years. How about that? Half a century. Spoke to another lady on last week. She came to see us. She said, you know, my first marriage lasted 13 years. That was good, wasn't it? A second one didn't last that long, and a third one has just finished, or she thinks it's finished. And we've encouraged her. It's amazing, again, that the people, Christians, actually gave her the word of God to marry this man. We have to be ever so careful, don't we? What we call directive prophecy. Telling people what the will of God is. But why shouldn't we be blessed? Why shouldn't everything work out? Why shouldn't we have everything that God has for us? It's in his plan. His purpose. Just read a few more verses. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. God has a perfect plan for your life. My first illustration is a man called Jeremiah. Jeremiah really had a tough life, didn't he? He was... And in the first chapter, we find God speaking to him. We had a visit from a man called Lee Chick, who leads a work in Watford called Betel. And they take men and women in who are heroin addicts. And it's a Christian organisation based, run by WEC. And you go there and you don't take any drugs, you don't take any methadone, you don't can't smoke anymore. And you go there and you just go to find God. And this man is an absolute inspiration. Of course, he deals with all these impossible situations, problematical people. You know, we even heard today in the news that Amy Winehouse, obviously, had killed herself with an overdose or something. I expect that will be what happened. But isn't it tragic that there are people today who are absolutely addicted? And yet we have a gospel that is more powerful than heroin. You know, I always tell this story when I think of a friend who knocked on my door one morning who had been released from prison. It was in Liverpool prison. Not only was he a heroin addict, but he was in prison for being a trader, a pusher of heroin. And somebody came along to that prison and just shared the gospel. And at the end of the meeting, when he asked for prayer, he was the only one to come forward. And he knelt down and the guy prayed for him. He went back to his cell. But for 3 months, each night, he didn't do anything, continued his life. And then one night he said, Lord, he said, God, if you are really real, then save me. And went to sleep. That's all he said. He woke up in the morning absolutely free. Never had any withdrawal symptoms. Cold turkey, I think they call it. God met with him. It came out of the bank of heaven. And it took 3 months. And this man, as I say, Lee Chick, he's now married, he's got 2 children. I'd love to have had him on the radio this week. I would love to have everybody to have listened to him. He's on holiday, sadly. But there we are. And but he mentioned this at the meeting we had down on Worthing on a Saturday, it was. Some of us got together. And he said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Now, think of that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Think of it. It doesn't, you see, what he was pointing out, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your parenting is. It doesn't matter. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter whether you were born out of rape or incest. He said, it does not matter. As far as God is concerned, you are special to him. I thought, isn't that wonderful? That every one of us in this room is on the same, you know, we talk about it's being on the same page. We're singing from the same hymn sheet. We're equal. We're all the same. We're all as special to God. And he says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He says, and that means you've been appointed. He goes on to say, then I said, oh, Lord God, but I cannot speak. Behold, I cannot speak. I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, man does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All I need to have to fulfill the will and purpose of God is to speak his words. If only I could get that 100% in my understanding thinking and just say what God wants me to say and do what God wants me to do, I think I would probably have a much easier life. I don't know whether you would. Think of all the worrying we do. Bible says we shouldn't worry because he's got it all in control. The plans we make, perhaps that we shouldn't make. Perhaps the words we get from God and then just take it too far. You know, I'm certainly good at that. I'm good at making my own plans too. And discovering they're not so good. Don't work out so well as God's plans. But we can hear God. And of course, as you know, God used this man in a powerful way. My second illustration is back in the book of Joshua. Here's a man that God clearly raised up. He was a servant to Moses, who was a wonderful leader. He had gone to be with the Lord, and God says to him, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Tells him three times to be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread is yours. All he had to do was to walk in God, step by step. And as you know, he took them through this amazing, going over the Red Sea, then they go round, they take the armies and all the priests go round Jericho and they shout and everything's exciting, all the walls fall down and all they in go and etc. So he hasn't got a Bible, of course. It wasn't written then. So they sit down, him and his elders, his committee, to decide what they do next. You know, somebody once said, didn't they, if Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. And have you ever been in committees? Yeah? Church meetings? Yeah. Don't they go on? Amazing, isn't it? What we find to talk about in all our discussions. And of course, here they are. Well, of course, they're moving from a very realistic, practical matter. They've had a wonderful victory. But they don't really need all those troops. Just 3,500, that's fine. We'll do that and we'll go up. But you see, what you realise is that they're absolutely wasting their time. I wonder if we were to add together all the time we have wasted, and I speak about myself, in my X number of years, I wonder how many years that would be. I have wasted years. Because I've made good plans. I tell you this, you know, they are excellent plans, not sinful plans, but they're my plans. And all you do is go round in a circle. The children of Israel went round in 40 years. I'm ever so pleased that I didn't have to spend 40 years going round my plans. But you know, we've wasted time. I do encourage you, do not waste time. If God hasn't said it, don't do it. And if God has said it, do it. Because you're going to lose people. They lost people. They lost 36 of their soldiers. And of course, who's Joshua blaming? You know, he's tearing his clothes and he says, Lord, alas, Lord, God, why have you brought this people over Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns his back upon its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and will cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, isn't he lovely, lovely the Lord? "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned," and so on. As you know, one man out of that million people took a silver coin. I found a pound on outside, on just down there, on my way back from lunch. So I picked it up and put it in my pocket. Right? A pound. And you can just imagine, he can, can't you? Just picking up that little thing and putting it in his pocket. You wouldn't have known, would you, if I hadn't told you? You probably don't know who lost it. But God saw. And he saw it in Achan's pocket. And from that moment on, everything came to a standstill. Ever felt that? I felt that. I mean, you get 6 months down the road, something's changed here. Because you don't realise things instantly. It's like praying, isn't it? You know, just because you miss your prayer time this morning doesn't mean to say you fall apart. But you see, this man, Joshua, began not to ask God. Of course, one of the more dramatic occasions in his life was when he had these tramps come to see him with tatty clothes and dirty bread and, look at our wine things. They're all rotten. You know, we've been travelling so long, And Joshua said, they must live miles away. Only down at Liverton. You see, he was conned. And it clearly says, and they did not seek counsel from God. You must ask God. If you haven't asked God about that project, that plan, how do you know it's his plan? That place to live, where to go, what to do. We need to speak with the Lord on every day. Here's another man. His name is Joseph. And you find him in Genesis. And of course, you realize that this young teenager, 17 years of age, who was really loved of his dad and made him this beautiful coat of many colors. You can see him a mile off. Poor lad. You know, fancy sending your kid to school with a coat of many colours. And of course, all his contemporaries hated him. But you know, he had an amazing vision. In fact, he had two dreams. Dreams of sheaves and dreams of sons of stars and so on. And he kind of burst into his brother and said, guess what? Pals, you know, you're going to bow down to me one day. And of course, the more perhaps he was a little over the top, we don't know. Perhaps we could judge him, perhaps, of being a little sort of proud about his revelations. But we know that God had a plan and purpose for his life. It was to take 13 years. And I wonder how Joshua coped with it. Well, the Bible tells us how he coped with it. Never do you find Joshua unhappy about the plan and purpose of God. You don't find him unhappy in prison, do you? Because he trusted God. He put his trust in the Lord. And I'm sure you know that lovely little story about the trapeze artist who used to walk across the Niagara Falls on a rope. You heard of him? His name was Blondin. And he used to walk across, and then he used to go and cook an omelette and And he'd take his wheelbarrow and walk that across, and then he'd come back with a sack of potatoes. And the Duke of Newcastle was there, and he said, "Do you believe that I could take a man across this rope in this wheelbarrow?" And he says, "I do." He said, "Well, jump in then." But he didn't want to. He wasn't prepared to trust the Lord. You see, if you've been born, God's got a plan for your life. And he wants to set that plan. And if that means taking you through difficulties, will you go through them? And say amen. Thank you, Lord. You see, so many people get offended and upset. I tell you this, if you are upsettable, there are 101 people to upset you. The things they say, the things they do. Right? Do you get upset? Get peeved? Do you grumble? Do you moan? Well, when you stop grumbling and moaning, God will take you on. We had a couple in our church. We don't want to be here, you know. I don't know if you have people in your church like that. Oh, if only God would find a way out. See, if only we could do this, only go there. You know, and they come into me and say, you know, what should we do? And I said, well, look, you've got to be happy to stay in this place for the next 40 years. Oh, 40 years. Oh. Anyway, the day they came to rest in the will of God for their lives for that day, they had a phone call from someone in China inviting them to lead the work in China. That day. I found it with young ladies, you know, moaning about, I haven't got a boyfriend, and, you know, all my friends have got boyfriends, and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, look, when you get to the place, you get absolute rest in God, and you put your trust in God, and you're not worrying about this and that, it'll happen. And it does. So we've got to put our trust in God. Here's another one. You know this man. His name's Jonah. Oh, boy, look, the time's running away with us. And Jonah's an example of someone trying to avoid the will of God. I've been him too. In fact, I think probably if you've lived long enough, you probably find some experiences in many of these Jonah. But just for time, you know that God, he was God's. He had been appointed a prophet. He was God's prophet. The scripture tells us that. He was God's man. He was God's minister. He wasn't just an oddball sort of, you know, that God found. He was appointed a prophet, and the Lord wanted him to go on a particular journey, whatever the word is. Errand, thank you. Thank you, Anna. To Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is northeast Iran, a place called Mosul. Tarshish is round the coast of Spain. Right, that was his reaction to the word of God. He went, shoo! In fact, he got on a boat to flee, it says, to Tarshish. He must have been very quick. And he paid the fare. And of course, immediately there was crisis, chaos, trouble, difficulty, wherever he was. Right. And so the only answer was to get them out the boat. I could tell you my own Jonah story, but I won't. But I tell you this, when I got out the boat, the company that I had joined continued in its blessing because God didn't want me there. But the last one is in 2 Chronicles chapter 37. And I like the words here because these are I think it's 2 Chronicles, chapter 37. No, it's not 37 because there's no 37 chapters in. So it's got to be 35, verse 35. Josiah. I know many of these names because Rob Parks has got at least three of these boys in his family. He's got six children. And I've dedicated them all. Let me read the verses. After this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Chemshimish, Carchemish, by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent messengers to him, saying, "What have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day." I'm reading verse 21. "But against the house for which I war, for God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroy you." He was a meddler with God. You see, and so the Lord has a plan and purpose for our lives. A perfect plan. Got a plan for me, and he's got a plan for you. And we are encouraged not to meddle with the plan of God. He lost out because of his meddling. In fact, an archer shot King Josiah. He said, "Take me away, for I am wounded." And Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. And to this day, all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah and their lamentations, that they made it a custom in Israel. And indeed, they are written in the laments. Sad, isn't it? That we have such a tremendous heritage. Blessing, God has chosen us in the very beginning of time, even before we were born. He's got a plan and purpose for our lives, a perfect plan. And if we keep in touch with him, if we pray, if we seek him, and only do that which he says, then he will lead us on day by day. And we, like the Lord Jesus Christ, will fulfill his will. "I've come to do thy will." And we know that in the end, the Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." We're here tonight because he did the will of the Father. And my prayer is that we may too do the will of the Father. Let's pray together. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, Father, tonight, that even though he was one with you, he came down to this earth. You must have had a conversation with him and said to him, "Son, someone's got to die for these people. Someone's got to die for Terry Watson." And even before the foundation of the world, Lord, you set me in your sights, and it was your leading, Lord, that I found you. Thank you, Lord. And I want to say to you tonight, Lord, I've come to do thy will, O Lord. Lord, and thank you, Father, for courage to take every step of the way. We need courage. Thank you, Lord, for trusting when that courage takes us in prison. Thank you, Lord, just to understand that your will for others may not be what I think it should be, but to trust you with them too, that we don't meddle with other people's direction and leading. Lord, thank you that you have a place for each one of us. And we just pray tonight, Lord, that we may be found doing it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful God you are. Lord, that you would ever want to show us and reveal to us